The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, to start, we'll start with a guided meditation. First, we'll settle. Then I'll offer some considerations, some reflections that we'll work with and then discuss later. So I invite you to get into your meditation posture, whatever is most comfortable for you. Allowing your body to relax and settle. Allowing your mind also to settle, feeling the sensations of this body breathing. We'll sit together in silence for a little bit, and then I'll offer some reflections. Now I'd like to invite you to bring to mind either a good friend or a benefactor or a parent or a teacher or just someone you know who makes you feel safe. There's a sense of goodwill that you have for this person, for this being. Sense of friendliness that's easy for you. Sense of care that you have for them and they have for you. You feel safe in their presence. You feel their care. And bring this being to mind, this person. This friend, this advisor, whoever it is, bring them to mind. Allow yourself to be seen. Allow yourself to be seen with kind eyes. As if this person is sitting right in front of you. This good friend, your good friend who cares about you, just holds you with care, with friendliness, with respect. Cares about your well-being. Not overwhelming or heavy-handed, just simple, could be subtle. And let yourself be held and seen with kind eyes, with this friendliness, receiving. This friendly attitude, this goodwill, this care from this good friend. And if it's hard to come up with one person, either just settle on somebody or you can make up this ideal good friend, the archetype of a good friend. Who cares about you, listens to you, and has your best interest in mind, and has goodwill, care, kindness, affection for you. Very simple. Just let yourself, let your whole body kind of soften and melt. Being held with that, being held with goodwill and friendliness. Maybe a sense of gratitude comes up. Thank you. Thanks for caring about me. And just allowing yourself to receive this friendliness, this friendly care. As if your good friend is right by your side. They have your back. They care about you. They're just standing with you or sitting with you shoulder to shoulder. just taking in what that's like, to feel supported. And imagine this good friend. They see your inner goodness. They know your inner goodness. They also imagine they know the story of your whole life. They know the difficulties. They know all the conditions in your life. Your genetic makeup, your family, upbringing, all the experiences in your life that have led you to this moment. And they see you and they care about you. They know all the ups and downs. They know you're doing your best. They cut you a lot of slack, even when you're judgmental to yourself. This good friend, this caring being, whoever it is, archetype, friend, parent, accepts you and cares for you no matter what. They accept you just as you are. Knowing you're not perfect, but you are doing your best, and they hold you with care and concern and support you. Allow yourself to be seen completely by this being, by this friendly figure, friendly image. No need to explain. This friendly being understands you, accepts you, and holds you with kindness and care. You feel safe. And again, even if judgments arise in your own mind, they hold you with care and support. It's okay. You are doing your best. letting yourself be held with care, friendliness, goodwill. Now, let's imagine you at your work with this friendly being by your side. This virtual good friend with you when you're at work. And whenever you judge yourself, you're hard on yourself, or you're about to not have a boundary or do something that's detrimental to yourself, they whisper in your ear, kindness, care. You see their perspective. You see their perspective of care for you. Maybe if you're about to say yes to something that you really should say no to, this good friend whispers, really? Don't do that to yourself. Or whatever the scenario might be. It's feeling complete care and support and affection. As if you are being a good friend to yourself. How would you be a good friend to yourself at work? How would you be your own good friend at work? With kindness, with compassion, with care. Taking care of this dear being that is you. Not to get too heady about this exercise or think too many scenarios, but just to sit. Imagine yourself at work, maybe sitting in your chair or standing. Imagining what it feels like to be your own good friend. Or if it feels better to have this imaginary, caring being right by your side. When you feel small, when you feel challenged, to have this compassion, this supportive voice right there, available to you instead of the judgmental one. And now, I'd like to invite you to bring to mind someone, perhaps at work, that is a neutral person for you. You kind of know them, but not really. You've seen them, maybe. Maybe they're in a different department. if there's such a person. And if you can think of someone at work that way, maybe someone that you know. That's maybe in the same building. That you know, but you don't know their story. You haven't had a lot of interaction with them. And you don't have strong feelings of either like or dislike. There might be some subtle feelings, but that's okay. And bring this being to mind, what they look like, what they feel like. And realizing that just like you, this person just wants to be happy. They're a human being just like you. They want to be happy. They don't want to suffer. Just like you, they have hopes and dreams. They have aspirations. There are ways they want to serve the world. They have values. They have people they care about. And this being, this person, is an object of affection. For someone. They're a daughter or son to someone. Maybe they're a brother or sister, a wife, a husband, a mother or a father to someone. They are dear to others, and there are others who are dear to them. Just like you, they've had hopes and dreams, they've had disappointments, they've had failures in their life. Just like you, they have had sadness, they've suffered. And seeing the common humanity between the two of you. Just like you, this person just wants to be happy and not suffer. Just like you. And by the way, given that it's the afternoon, at any point you feel sleepy, it's okay to stand up and do standing meditation. It's perfectly okay. Can stand up and open your eyes and do standing meditation. So from a place of common humanity, to see the humanity of this person and wish them well. Just like you, they want to be happy. Just like me, may you be happy. Extending goodwill and care. Just as I don't want to suffer, may you not suffer and be free. Just as I want to experience joy and peace and ease, you too, fellow human, may you too also enjoy peace and ease. May the two of us be free from suffering. May the two of us experience ease. And again, it's perfectly okay to do standing meditation. In fact, I will get up to model it so you feel comfortable doing it. wishing ease and joy, happiness. To this person you don't really know, and you can imagine, perhaps, ups and downs in their life. It's okay for the purpose of this exercise, for this practice, for this moment, to have some imagination. Maybe they just went through a divorce, or maybe they just lost someone they loved. And wishing them ease, wishing them happiness, sharing your goodwill, this bond of common humanity. And now, for the last part of this practice, I'd like to invite you to bring to mind someone you're having perhaps some difficulty with at work. I don't like to call them a difficult person because they are not difficult per se. It's just that you might be having difficulty with them at this point in time. Bringing this person to mind, if there is one, and realizing, just like the neutral person we were working with a moment ago, that the person you're having difficulty with, again, not condoning the harm, not necessarily forgiving, not letting them off the hook. It's none of that, this practice. It's separating the actions from the humanity. It's just about seeing the humanity of the person and to see how that might shift and open things up, perhaps. So again, doesn't mean to condone the behavior that might have been hurtful to you or forgive. Let's put that aside for a moment. But just seeing the humanity of this human being. That just like you, this person wants to be happy. They don't wake up in the morning wanting to cause harm in the world. Maybe they are causing harm, but as they are concerned inside, they're a human being that wants to be happy. They don't want to suffer. They're a human being just like you. They're people they care about. And there are people who care about them. Just like you, they've experienced sorrow and sadness and difficulty in their life. They've had failures. And they've had joys. Just like me. This person is just like me in so many ways. They're a human being just like me. They hurt. They get sad. They get disappointed. They get angry. They're not perfect. And just seeing their humanity for a moment, allowing yourself to see that. Again, not to condone of the actions. It's not about that. It's not about letting them off the hook. But just to allow yourself to see the common humanity. That's all. That's all. It's a shift in perspective. And from a perspective of common humanity, seeing them, that they're a human being just like you, wishing them well. May you too be happy. May you not suffer. May you have ease in your heart. There are so many circumstances, genetics, upbringing, all the experiences of life. When we take a bird's eye view, not about what is just happening right now, but a whole set of causes and conditions that have brought us to this point. If you were born in the same genetics, into the same body as this person, having had all the life experiences they did, you would probably be doing exactly what they're doing. You would be acting the same way. They're not so special. You're not so special. It's not that personal. From a perspective of common humanity, allowing yourself to tap into and see this person's humanity and wishing them ease, wishing them well. May both of us who are entangled in this web of this difficulty together, may both of us be free. May both of us have ease. May both of us not suffer. In this dynamic that we're both caught in, may there be ease for both of us. May there be freedom for both of us. May both of us have ease. So as we turn to challenges and difficulties in the afternoon, I mean, you may not have any challenges at work, lucky you, but if you do, we also turn to also bring in the practices of the heart. In the guided meditation that we did, there were three different practices I offered. And one, the first one, is as if you were a good friend to yourself. As if you were a good friend to yourself. And offering yourself care, compassion, and support as if you were a good friend to yourself. Because often we're not a good friend to ourselves at work. As it was brought up earlier today, sometimes we don't really set the boundaries to protect ourselves or take care of ourselves. Or we're too judgmental in ourselves, etc. So what if we had our best friend next to us, this virtual, imaginary best friend next to us at work that watched out for us? That was one thing that we worked with in this guided meditation. And then we brought to mind someone who is neutral at work, bringing this stance of common humanity. There are lots of people, and we see them, sometimes we see people as objects. We see them as either obstacles on our way or as either they're obstacles or they're a stepping stone to us getting what we need to get. We don't see their humanity. We don't see that just like us, they want to be happy. They have aspirations. People care about them. To start to see people differently at our work, people that we don't relate to as human beings, but kind of in their function and objects. And then the last thing we tried on for size was also to see the common humanity of people we have difficulty with. And again, as I said many, many times, it's not about condoning or accepting the harm that's done. That's aside. But just to see their common humanity, that they're just human beings, just like us. They want to be happy. And allowing us to open up to that common humanity view, it can shift a perspective a little bit. And sometimes it can open up to actually finding a more constructive solution to the problems and to the harm that's being done, instead of dehumanizing them. Oh, they're so evil, they're so bad, they don't get it, they just want profit, they're like, rawr. Not seeing their humanity doesn't really allow us to open up to that conversation, even in our hearts and minds. Not to say there are a lot of difficulty, and there are some situations that we may just decide this situation or this relationship is not workable. It's just not workable. And you decide not to stay in it and make changes. And then there's wisdom to bring into that, to decide when it's the right decision, when it's the right time to either leave or change things, or to stay in it and treat it as a practice opportunity, and treat that person as your best teacher, the person you're having difficulty with. And that is an exploration. That is an exploration of wisdom. And no one can tell you that. You have to feel into it yourself. So I want to pause for a moment and ask if there are any comments or questions about what we just did together, this guided meditation, before we move into the next thing. Any comments, any questions, reflections? What worked, what didn't, anything. Yeah, please.
That was actually really helpful for me, so thank you. I think the one piece about sort of seeing the commonality in the difficult person, and I was actually able to see a bit of their humanity, and what actually popped into my head was, unfortunately, I'm probably that for someone else. That's the hard part about it is, you know, hopefully not quite that bad, but I'm sure somebody's talking about me the way that I'm talking about this other person at any given time in yeah. many different situations, right? So,
yeah.
And then the other piece is I think that sometimes it is the case that maybe it, where I'm at in my life, like maybe certain relationships, it's just like I'm not at a place in my life where I'm going to be able to resolve this or yeah. in work. And there's no shame in saying this isn't working for me, I'm going to yeah. move on. And I think yeah. I like spend years sometimes until I finally let go, and then I let go in such a, you know, bad way, when I could just say, hey, you know what, this isn't the right time, and I'm not, yeah. I just am not up right. for working on this, so right. I'm going to move on and, you know, have a nice life and
yeah.
not make it a big drama.
Yeah.
I guess that's a thing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of wisdom in that, to recognize, you know, right now, I wish you well, I see your humanity, but right now we're entangled in this web. And for whatever reason, all the things that are going on, maybe I don't have the resources right now, the emotional, physical resources to hang in here, and there's so many other things are going on. I wish you well, I wish me well, and goodbye for now. And that's perfectly fine, that's wise. And I really appreciate the other aspect that you brought in, which somebody else might be feeling the way we are about the difficult person, we're having difficulty with. I don't want to say difficult person, even though person we're having difficulty with is a mouthful. I still try to say it every time. But yes, we hurt other people too. We've hurt other people. is this samsaric, you know, cycle. To recognize that is both. It requires a lot of humility to see that. Like, ouch, yeah, I do that too. And it's powerful to practice with that instead of feeling bad about ourselves, to say, yeah, I'm work in progress. As much as this other person is a work in progress, so am I. I'm continuing to move towards compassion and forgiveness and kindness and wisdom as much as I can. And yep, I fail. And I keep working on it. I wake up every day and keep at it. And so is this other person in their own way, whatever their way might be. Thank you.
It depersonalizes it, I think, a little bit too. Yeah. So you can just step away from the... Yeah.
Yeah, it's really not personal. And that other aspect of it is as I was saying, if you were born in the body of that person, with the genetic makeup, with the background they had, the way they were raised, every experience they had in their life, you'd probably be doing the same thing, because we are born out of the cause and conditions of this body, of this upbringing, of this brain, of the microbiome, of how, you know, just it's so complex. It's so complex. And you would probably be acting the same exact way that person is acting. It's not personal in that way. You're, you know, cause and conditions. I'm a combination of cause and conditions here. To recognize that, it makes it less personal. Yeah, thank you. What else? Any other reflections, questions, or comments before we move on? Yeah, please, and wait for the mic to come.
Now, as I was going through the meditation, one thing that I realized was that I forgot about the forgiveness, which is a really great aspect in interacting with others. I realized that I'm becoming tougher and tougher in forgiving and letting go of things, and I need to kind of center myself again and be able to go back to that point. I realized that every time that I chose forgiveness over hanging tight and holding all that negative emotions, life became easier.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Used to have a boss that had a ton of difficulties with, and the day that I did a lot of prayers with another friend and just went through that meditation and trying to forgive him, I realized the whole dynamic changed. You know, the last year that he was before retirement, and 3 years prior to that, so much of his struggle, and then like the last year became a totally different dynamic.
You know? Yeah.
As I was going through this meditation, I realized it's not just work. You know, every different type of relationship that we have, the same concept applies. You know, it's like whether it's your family, whether it's your, you know, whomever that you're interacting with, it made a big difference. So I tried to kind of forgive them as I was going through this meditation.
Yeah, thank you for that. And the importance of forgiveness, forgiving yourself and forgiving others as much as it's available. And again, remembering that not taking on the forgiveness practice as it should, but opening your heart up to it. Because if it becomes a should, I should forgive. Well, I should have, this thing happened 10 years ago. I should have forgiven it by now. What's wrong with me? Ooh, ouch. It becomes a burden. Forgiveness becomes a burden. Whereas opening up to forgiveness as much as it's available right now. Yeah, I can forgive this person for this and this and that. But right now, I'm still not ready to forgive that part. And that's okay. And that's okay. May my heart open up to forgiving this action completely someday. May I forgive completely someday. But for now, this is as much as I can. And forgiving yourself for not being able to forgive. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that in. And another thing that you said I want to comment on is absolutely, this is, you know, even though this day long is about work, but it's also not just about work, it's about relationships. It's about human relationships. And somebody else commented on that too, that it's much more, it's so applicable to so many aspects of our lives. Yeah, thank you. So, Any other comments before we take a break together? Yeah, please.
So in the meditation I realized when we're dealing with difficult people, it's usually us that's having the difficulty, the other person is usually happy. Yeah. So it's just an opportunity for us to look deeper into ourselves and maybe develop better coping skills with whatever situation that is. Mm. Because the other person is fine, so you're the one suffering. Right? So.
I think that's one aspect of it. I think what you're saying, there are many levels of complexity in what you're bringing up. I mean, one is that there may be something about us that is getting triggered in what the person, the behavior this person is doing. And sometimes, I'm not saying always, but sometimes the behavior might be neutral, but there's something about us that is getting activated, and so that's when it becomes to look inside. But sometimes there is something that perhaps that person is not aware of, so they're kind of happily going about causing harm in the world, right? Breaking, it's like being a bull in a china shop, you know, they're going about breaking glasses and not even aware of it, and you're like, ouch, that really hurt. So it is for us to sit with what is coming up in us, what is being, what pain is coming up. And it might also become an act of right speech at some point to have a frank and open conversation, not to hurt them, not to cause pain, but to actually have a conversation about what is happening. But it can only happen when we're really clear about it. We're not trying to get them back or trying to hurt them back. So some action might be necessary or needed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's take a break. Let's take a 15-minute break. It's about 5 to 3. Let's come back 3 past 10. 10 past 3. 10 past 3. And we're going to actually do some another exercise and really try on for size, complications and difficulties and really work with it in small groups. And it's something completely experimental, so we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it'll be interesting and fun and challenging in some ways too. But yeah, so let's take a little break. Come back at 10 past. Thanks. So for this last part, we're going to do some... Is this on? Let's try that. No worries. Now it's on. Okay. So for this last part, let's see. So raise your hand if currently there is a challenge. There is some kind of an interpersonal challenge you have, either at work or personal. Raise your hand if there's something. Okay. There is some challenge. Okay, so for those who haven't raised your hand, there is no interpersonal challenge. For those who haven't raised your hand, was there a time when there was, so like something not ongoing, but kind of like in the past, maybe still a little unresolved? Anything? Yeah, okay, good. So as long as people have something to work with for this next exercise, because we're going to get into, we're all humans, you know, we all have these things. So this is what I'm suggesting we try on for size. So we'll get into small groups, and maybe small groups of three, different groups of three. And I'm trying to decide whether groups of two or three would be better for this. So let me work this out. So this is how it's going to work. So we'll get into groups, and each person will have the chance to describe what the situation is, the interpersonal situation is. And then we have two options, and this is what I'm thinking. Again, I'm designing this kind of on the fly. I thought about it this morning, but I'm kind of feeling the room and trying to see what would be most appropriate. So one thing to do after the kind of describing what the situation is briefly is actually kind of act it out a little bit. And that can be really informative. So, and you would be acting out, each person will be acting out both sides of the situation. So you, and you can kind of change position. So you'll be, for example, let's say if you had a situation at work with your boss, say you missed a deadline and he was really angry. Let's say that. So like, so you would be you and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't manage to finish. Whatever happened, you work it out. And then you kind of switch in your chair. Or actually, you switch places if you can, like a little. And then you become your boss, actually. You become your boss. And you kind of try on, like, well, I'm really disappointed in you. And this is the 10th time this month you've missed a deadline. And just really feel that. Like, what does that feel like? To have that position, and you're being them, and you're seeing you, and then, you know, go back to yourself. Well, I know, but the situation has been really difficult in the past year, the past month, as you know, there's been a difficulty in my family. You know, somebody's been sick. Like, well, this, you know, I don't know what to say because my boss is putting a lot of pressure on me also. So just going back and forth to get some different, kind of getting outside yourself to see the perspective from both sides. And the physicality can be really powerful. And stay in your body as much as possible. Stay in your body as much as possible. This sounds a little zany and crazy, but hang in there with me, will you? Is this cool to play this on, try this on for size? I've tried this practice. It can be a very strong practice. Just feeling it in the body. What does it feel like in the body to be upset, to be disappointed, to have missed a deadline? What does it feel in your body to really feel, I've let you down? Maybe the disappointment you're feeling is because you're sad. Or maybe the anger this person is feeling has really come from their sadness or their worry because they might be fired. And like, see what comes up. How does that sound? Okay? Willing to try this on for size? Yeah? Give it a go? Okay. So, yeah, question. Oh, different partners. Yeah, yeah. Find, I know this is going to get interesting because you've already worked with a bunch of people, but find two people you haven't worked with yet, if you can. And I will time you. Each person will have maybe 8 minutes or so to both explain kind of roughly what the situation is, and then the two sides. And if you can, also, as a part of this exercise, bring in a perspective of common humanity. Because you're just human. You're doing your best. This person you're having this conflict with, or you've had this conflict with, or difficulty, challenge, is they're doing their best. They're human. They have their own reactions and their sensitivities and their history, things that upset them, etc. So have the perspective of common humanity, kind of the bird's eye view to this entangled mess that the two of you are in. Is that okay? All right, and then I'll ring the bell and you can switch. And I think two or three, let me go back to that. Let's do it in groups of two, actually. Is that okay? Let's go ahead and do groups of two for the interest of time. Yeah, let's do that. All right, find a partner you haven't worked with. So, how was that? What did you discover? What happened? It'd be lovely to hear some comments, please. Yeah.
Things like this scare. Hello? Yay. Okay. Things like this scare the hell out of me. But I'm really happy I took the opportunity to do this. I guess not so much because I was like, there was somebody watching me, but because it kind of like made me really have to go and step into the other person's shoes and go, oh, that's why it's a problem. Because, like, I can see, okay, from his perspective, like, oh, yeah, there is, like, this issue here, and, you know, I can understand why it would be stressful for that person. And so seeing that, it's like, okay, it's it's about me, the like person working, but it's not about me, the person. It's just like, you know, there's a kind of the mismatch between what is happening and what is expected to be happening. And it's not about either person per se, yeah. But just about the kind of like the system that the people are contributing to.
Right. It's not personal.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for sharing that and for seeing that this exercise sounds like it stretched your edge. It was an edge. And it revealed some things to you to take on these different perspectives. Great. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. What else? What else did you learn? This, by the way, this was the first time I tried this on, so thanks for hanging in there. So I would love to hear how that was, whether it worked, it didn't work. Yeah. Is that a hand?
Oh, it's
just scratching. Okay, great.
So for one thing
a little closer.
Okay. One thing this helped me do, I've been doing loving kindness meditation practice for this person that I have a difficult situation with, and I've been really good about being able to get myself into her point of view, and so I was able to kind of resolve things with her in my mind through doing loving kindness meditation practice for the past month with her as my focus. But what happened when my partner and I were talking about was I realized that in this situation, I haven't actually been serving myself very well because I didn't let my person that I'm having a difficulty with know that I had a difficulty in the situation. Mm-hmm. And so she may be completely unaware that I'm having this level of pain or mm-hmm. sadness. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me, I could just let her know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No big deal. No expectation. I can just say what makes me sad, and then see what happens. And if it changes things, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so being an advocate for myself,
or be a little bit more advocating for myself.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good thing, because I tend not to, in some ways I do that very well, because I'm a super strong person, but in some ways I don't do it at all.
Yeah. What it sounds like to me having a conversation with her would be an extension of loving kindness for yourself. It's taking care of yourself also. And also the way you're talking about it, I'm not hearing any anger or resentment. It's like, oh, this is what's happening. I'd like to share with you. I'm not hearing you're putting it on, or you're saying, you know, I'm hurt in this way. No expectations, but this is what's happening. This is the effect of these actions. This is what's happening. So, great. Lovely. Thank you. What else? What else did you discovered? You discovered through this exercise. Was it worthwhile? Was it not worthwhile? That's okay too. Give feedback. Come on.
So I have to admit, I had a very, very hard time getting into the other person's sort of like feeling what they're feeling. I had a very hard time with that.
Mm-hmm,
But I think during our conversation, the one thing I realized is maybe it's my own expectations of the other person that I need to perhaps examine and look at.
Mm-hmm.
And then also realizing at some point that, you know, it is my expectations, but perhaps they're not able to meet my expectations. So then just maybe you look for that sort of support elsewhere.
Yeah. And that's enlightening to see that. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Yeah. What else? Over there, yeah.
So I also had a really hard time. I just couldn't get into this other person's shoes. I really would like to talk to you. I don't think that it's because of my expectations. I just don't understand the person. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I know the person a little bit, his family and all that, but I just, it's like, it's a question mark for me. Mm-hmm. So it's hard when it's in the workplace. If it's a personal relationship, you can get to the point where you were saying before. Sometimes it's okay to say, you know, that's it. You go your way, I go my way, I wish you well, and that's it. But at work, you cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I have something to think about it after this exercise. I just really couldn't.
Yeah. So let's hang in there for a moment. Yeah, I appreciate what you said. And sometimes maybe the way the person is thinking is, and taking on their perspective, maybe it's really, really hard. So let me ask you, so while you tried the exercise, did you try to kind of take on maybe their physicality and what they say and kind of like take those hints as a way to feel into the body?
Yeah, so kind to maybe look for patterns. I mean, what's making him angry, upset, like trying to figure out. But I cannot find it seems a little erratic sometimes, the response from this person.
Mm-hmm.
I just cannot find him. I don't know what's bothering him so much. I just, like last week this was okay, this week is not.
Yeah.
No, but I think it was good to realize that.
Yeah.
I think that was the positive.
Right, that's what I'm hearing also. It's good to exactly.
Yeah, so we'll see. But if that was useful in that sense.
Yeah.
I say, darn, how am I going to deal with it?
It's actually really interesting because as you say this, it gives me the sense that there's something perhaps going on with this person that really you don't understand. There's something happening in their life. That if something is okay last week but not okay this week, then you have no idea what's going on, really. It's their life, personal life, family, who knows what. Physical, emotional, I don't know, chemical in their body, who knows what it is going. So that's like, oh my goodness, that can open you up to common humanity. Like, wow, something is going on for you I just can't quite get, but you're suffering.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
That's very useful.
Yeah.
It is useful now. I realize it now.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Any other reflections? We've had mostly women. It would be nice to hear some male voices too. Especially if you haven't spoken today. Okay, even if you have spoken today. Okay, great.
So for me, it was feeling like the challenge really was all about, the only resolution was in changing my own behavior. I can't depend on somebody else to change. I understand their viewpoint, what makes them upset, and the challenge is for me to be able to follow through on that is to never lose sight of the why. Why do I want to change my behavior? As hard as it's going to be, and to deal with the frustration of accepting that somebody else may never change their behavior, but if I were to change my reaction to their behavior, mm-hmm. the situation would be better.
Mm-hmm.
But the frustration, the outrage, the indignation you feel over having to deal with someone else's behavior over mm-hmm. and over again in that period of time that it takes for them to follow your lead is the failure on my part over and over again. Mm-hmm. And what comes down to it is understanding the why. Why do I want to do this? And that's the part I have to connect with and keep in my grasp at all times to make that happen in that interim change of however long it takes, the interim period for however long it takes to facilitate the change between the two of us in that relationship. So, and it comes back to that piece about mindful listening. I think for me, it's to use that extra sense that I talked about earlier, maybe that might make it more possible. So I'm excited to go implement it.
Nice.
Thank
Great.
You.
Great. Thank you. And the extra sense, just to refer back to what you were saying, was this ability to be fully present and listen, really listen, really listen, as you were talking about. And when, as you were speaking just now, something else came up for me, which was, you know, a lot of times in a tussle, in a situation, one question that can come up for us is, when we realize, okay, we need to change our behavior so that gradually that makes a change in the system, in this interactive system, and shift, and it will change and shift the system, and the behavior of the other person will follow suit, because guess what? We hold as much responsibility and power in the relationship as they do, and as we shift, they will eventually shift. And the question that came up for me is, do I prefer to be right or happy? Great. Any other comments? Reflections? About this exercise we did. It wasn't an easy one, so thanks for hanging in there. Want to say something? Yeah? No? Okay. So we're going to now switch to our closing, and for that, here's what I would like to ask you, is to close your eyes for a moment and think and reflect on one thing today that you would like to take home. One thing you've learned, one thing you've realized, one thing that your mind, your heart has opened up to. It could be from the first part of the day this morning when we talked about one way to take your practice to work. It could be that, or it could be something that just happened this afternoon from working with a challenging situation. There might be multiple things that come up, but for now, let's just choose one. And in a moment, we're going to open our eyes and just simply go through the room and share that one thing and put it into the basket before we close the day long. So you can start, or you can start. You want to start? Is that okay?
I will start. And I'm going to steal someone else's over there. I think that the biggest thing I would take home, not just for work, but for my whole life, is that I have 50% control over the other relationship and the way I listen to other people, and the way my lack of empathy, and not empathy, but bothering to understand what's really going on over there for 100 reasons is really everything. Yeah, I think it really could change everything if you really embrace that.
Yeah, thank you.
I think the insight that I gained was two words that stood out. One was obstacle, and letting go of the outcome. And I realize that in a job situation, I view another person as an obstacle to the outcome I would desire. And coming to terms with that is a little bit difficult. There was one other thing that... slipped my mind. Oh... Just, you know, trying to check in with myself at work. What am I feeling? why am I having this reaction, or what, or just what is the reaction? What is the feeling? I'm not acting out of that feeling without realizing I'm having this feeling, and is this justified, or should I tone it down a little bit? Should I relax it and let go of it? Just remembering to do that, because the day proceeds and you get swept up in the activity, and it's very hard for me to remember. Pause. That's another big word that stood out for me today. Pause. You know, stop and check in.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One thing I would... there are several things I'm taking back, but one thing was that this listening exercise, the first thing we did, even though I've done that many times, but today I really felt that how much it's in me what I want to hear and what I'm thinking of the people or how I'm taking that. And I think that really woke me up to, and I feel I'm going to be able to better listen.
Thank you.
So basically this is a kind of first session for me. I never read anything about this meditation. So I think it's a good experience. I have to learn a lot. This is only 1% for me today to hear. So I really want to learn. I decided now that I have to go for that. Before I was kind of double-minded, and I think I'm wasting my time. So I have nothing to say more here, but I enjoy the class.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Great, thank you.
I had a few things. One of them is like really putting myself in the other person's shoes, and like I found it very helpful to visualize me embodying the other person looking at normal me. And then just like saying all the wonderful and terrible things about me that they feel. And just trying to vocalize it and give it a voice. I found that really, really powerful. And not in like self-hatred way, but like in a really like understanding way. And then from the start of the day, a couple of intentions. One being to like really focus on simplicity and not add complication unless it's like really necessary. And the other one was going to bed on time.
Great.
Do my best.
That's great.
The one key takeaway that I would like to focus on is the tool you taught us when we walked in, which is to listen with your body. And I've been focusing on listening to people, but I think I focus to listen with my head. And listening with my body, when I was practicing doing it here today, it helped me to listen better rather than to think about what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of something I heard just the other day. I can't remember who it is who said this. It's like one of the big mindfulness people, like maybe it's Sharon Salzberg, that said, here in the West, we all are heads walking around. We're all heads. We're no body. And that's me. So I think I'll listen better when I listen with my body. So I'm going to practice that.
Great. Thank you. So for me, it was a couple of things. One is, you know, you said, so I feel like I have a lot of attachment to outcome. And one of the things you said was so many things have to come together besides your own little piece for a project or something to actually come together. So that's something I'll take away, and it reminded me of something a friend had given me, and I'd stuck in my office but never really was able to sort of embrace it, which is actually a quote from the Talmud, which says, the sun will set without thy assistance, and it always does. And it's just suddenly I think, you know, this, my little piece is so important. So that's one. And then on a more practical note, I think the deep thinking, it made me sort of think, you know, I can actually block out times just to work without somebody overriding a meeting or for me. And then finally, again, on a more pragmatic note, you know, just getting up 15 minutes early so I'm not cursing the traffic might not be such a bad thing. So, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I think the thing that you just said a few minutes ago, right, like if we connect with the rest of the world in the universe and then take some baby steps to understand what's out there, the rest of the universe may respond, right? So it's like a dance where we both are together. So I think that basically gives a lot of hope. You know, it's an optimistic picture that you can try and things will change. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
I learned again that it's never good to be stressed out and ready at a hair trigger and react, and that you should always regularly take time to take care of yourself so that you have that leeway to breathe. And something my wise partner reiterated was that, you know, everybody's different, and you need to just measure them intuitively. And I keep forgetting, I have intuition, why don't I use it? I don't trust it. So,
thanks.
I guess during the exercise, the most powerful thing is putting yourself in the other person's shoes as best as you can. Because it isn't really about you. There's other factors or this or that or whatever. And then the other thing is, for me personally, is probably setting more boundaries or communicating those or stating my preferences. That doesn't mean they're going to get done. It doesn't mean anything, but at least they're communicated.
Thanks.
Same. Thinking from other person's point of view can help resolving conflicts and misunderstanding. I think that was a good exercise to go through this. Thanks for that.
Great, thank you.
Maybe the what I need to do became even more clear, and kind of like the 6 hours we spent today helped build the force of will to make it happen. I mean, I'm grateful for the four people and for yourself to help me today to go through this process. So I'm grateful, and I feel like I have I'm charged up in some way or better able to make it work. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I definitely feel more grounded now than when I showed up this morning. A couple things that I'm going to take away. I feel like staying really grounded in a sense of love and compassion and bringing that into the workplace and bringing that into my life, even with my children, but really having that as an unwavering force and steadfast throughout my day, which takes effort. But I think if I'm able to, you know, I have a strong sensation of it right now, but if I can keep it with me, keep it alive throughout the day, it's very, very powerful. And so, thank you.
Thank you.
I think I'm going to continue on the theme of listening. It became even clearer in the last exercise when I realized that often I'm good at telling stories about what happened between me and another person, but it's always one-sided. Mm-hmm. When I embodied what the other person was describing, I was able to feel it viscerally, how another person felt about what I was saying, and that there are two different viewpoints. It's not just my viewpoint. And that made me realize that instead of telling stories about conversations, I should be present in the conversation and take in what's happening. So I think I'm going to take that lesson back home.
Great, thanks.
to me, in any conversation, I hope and want to act in a way that I don't feel uncomfortable during the conversation or after the conversation with any person. And at the same time, I mean, not to act in a way that doesn't feel the person whom I'm talking to also not feel uncomfortable. Yeah.
Thanks.
I really appreciated everyone's comments because I had a lot of insights through their sharing. So thank you for that. But one thing I think I will continue to work on more intensively is when conflict arises, I almost always analyze the other person as to what they did and how I reacted to it. But I'm starting to realize more and more when I get entangled, there's a lot of unfinished or unprocessed work within me or medicine that needs healing. So going deeper into my own relationship to that entanglement or that situation is something I really want to do more inquiry around. So thank you for today.
Thank you.
I think for me, the group exercises were really very good. Thank you to all of the people I talked to. And I realized that I didn't answer for myself how I want to be remembered. So I guess that question has many answers depending where we are in life. But I think at this point in my life, I love my work, but I don't live for it. It's just part of my life. I just want to be remembered for the things that I do with other people. We were talking about the exercise, how do I bring mindfulness to my work, and is I try to smile to people, talk to people. I think that's what I really care more about. It
great.
But again, it's now in my life that's what I care about. Yeah. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was great.
Thank you. And I think you haven't spoken yet. Talking about what one thing you're taking home from today, if you like.
Just thinking about it for a moment. I think I'm taking home a lot of things. Things that probably I knew but then didn't reflect on, and it came back to me. Some of it was about work, but then it was not fully about work. It was like a lot of personal relationships and connections, yeah, and other things came about, which all of the concepts apply, you know, to all types of relationships that we have. What I'm taking home is to be more forgiving and more tolerant of other people. And find ways to find good in people and connect with them, you know, on the human level.
Yeah.
And putting myself into their shoes sometimes, trying to realize and understand what they are going through so that I can understand them better.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think everyone has spoken. Yeah. Thank you so much, all of you. Sounds good. Yeah. And so I wanted to thank you all for being here today and practicing together. It's been a rich day for me also, of practice and exploration. And on the last point that was raised, really seeing the good in yourself and seeing the good in others. Everybody's a mixed bag. It's part of being human and seeing the good. So I'd like to share the merit, and then Kate has something to say in the closing. So with that, may the merit of our practice together, of our meditation, silently sitting, or exploring ourselves, our hearts, minds, situations we're entangled with, to align ourselves with our highest intentions in goodness, in waking up, in kindness, in compassion, in wisdom. May our practice together be a cause and condition, contribute to awakening of all beings everywhere, including us. May all beings be free. May all beings be happy. Thank you.